I would like to invite you now to turn with me in God's Word. We're going to read Psalm 66. And as Walker and I were just chatting about tonight and about what we were going to do and how we were going to do this and what the Lord was asking us to do and seeking us to do, and we looked through some Psalms and we came to this Psalm and we feel that this really will set us up for what God wants to say to us tonight. There are pew Bibles there. If you haven't got one with you, and we encourage you to get your eyes onto God's Word. We believe He blesses us as we read it together. This is the Word of God. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever. By His power, His eyes watch the nation. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke. When I was in trouble, I will sacrifice fat animals to you. And an offering of rams, I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard. He would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. Amen. And we end our reading having read that whole psalm. This psalm is, we're not sure who the author of this psalm is. Some are very clear and some are not. But in this psalm, in the first four verses, there's a very clear call that all the earth, every nation, every person would acknowledge God for who He is. I suppose the question is, why would people praise and worship Yahweh? This is the God of the psalmist, Yahweh. No other God, no other idol, but the God of Israel. Why should all nations come and worship in this way and praise and acknowledge God in this way? Well, the psalmist says in those verses 5 to 7, come and see. Come and remember what God has done. Come and listen to what God has done. He parted the waters. It's a reference to Exodus, when the people were released from slavery from the Egyptians. We know the great story of the parting of the seas, but all nations heard of the terrible plagues that happened before then. There were certainly no internet, no 24-hour news, no satellite communications in those days. But stories spread around nation and nation. And we know this because further on in the story of the Israelite nation, when they were going into the promised land, the people living in the promised land, we read about they were afraid of this small nation because they knew that God was with them. So the psalmist is saying, come. Come see what God has done. Then the psalmist moves into a time of personal praise. prays for that preservation that they have felt, that he has felt, that they have felt together. And even through tough times, walking with the Lord is not always a walk in the park. There has been testing. Refining is the word that's in the psalm. This morning, as we were coming to the Lord's table, I was reflecting on the good old days, looking back at the good old days through my rose-tinted glasses, on things that would help me feel happy when I was feeling sad. And I remembered there were some of those good old days that weren't so good, but even now I can look back and see how they were character building. God worked through those negative things in my life, and I'm sure you can do that for yourselves. And it was the same for the people of Israel, for this psalmist who's reflecting back. And it's interesting here, there's a mixture of things that God made happen, but there's also then the things that God let happen. God being active in discipline, but God allowing those people to go through the consequences of their own bad decisions. But what is the result in verse 12? You brought us to a place of abundance. So through all of this, God is with us. He is with the psalmist. The psalmist responds in the only way that's really appropriate, in worship. He has made some vows when he was in trouble, and I'm sure we all can think of a time whenever we were in trouble and we sent one of those we light a wee rocket. Phew, Lord, help me, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do the other. The psalmist has done it. But he now goes to fulfill those vows. He has made the vow, and he wants to do what is right. And his sacrifice was plentiful. God has been good to him, and he does not want to hold back. He sacrifices not just one sacrifice, but goats and bulls and rams, all types of animals, all kinds of sacrifice. He's just pouring out in worship to God. And when he gets all of that done, he then says, come and listen, all you who fear God. We've moved from the start of the psalm to everyone listen. And now he's bringing it down in a bit closer. He's bringing the net in to those who fear God. There's been this call to all people, all nations. There's been an explanation. And now he's saying, are you listening? Those of you who are listening, where do you hear this? He wants to get down to some finer details, some personal details. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Not just the whole nation. He is the God of the nation, but he is the God of the person, the individual person. Let me tell you what is available for you. That's what the psalmist is doing. He's saying, these things are available for me, this relationship, but it's also available for you. And that's what is available. A relationship with Almighty God, the God of all creation. A God who will be with you in good times and in bad times. And through all of those life experiences that we all go through, our reaction would be then one of worship and thankfulness. We come to worship God. And when we are in that position with our ears opened and our hearts opened in relationship with God, we worship in spirit and truth. And then our desire is to go and share that experience with other people. This is what the psalmist did. He said, come and listen to me, one-on-one. The woman at the well, the passage that we read at the start of the service, she did the same thing after she met Jesus. She ran into the village and said, I've met this Jesus, this Messiah that we're waiting for. He is here, and she told people all about him. People turned to Jesus because of one woman's testimony. Walker has been through certainly some good times in his life and a tough time, a fairly tough time. And shortly after he got home, just shortly after he got home, he says to me, Dale, I have a desire to share this story with people. I'm going to invite him now to come up and do that very thing. So Walker, would you like to come up? And we couldn't think of a more appropriate psalm, really, when this came to me, of how well it just fits into to Walker's own life. He could be the psalmist in this psalm. But we're going to try and set a bit of a scene, and we're going to try and have a conversation. And what happens, Walker, when we're up here and I'm interviewing people, I ask them the question and then they give me the answer.
Yeah.
But you give the answer out there, that would be great. And these folks want to see and hear from you. So you want to stand there. If you need a wee drink, we've got a glass of water here for you. So, Walker, you get up one morning and you went out into your farm. And so tell us just that morning, how things unfolded that particular morning.
Well, things were pretty normal up to a certain stage. And I got up and the cows were milked and took the quad across the field. The cows were going three fields away. And I was taking them there, got through the first field and into the second field. I got off to shut the gate, and I never got the gate shut. Bang, he got me. But thanks to our Lord, our Heavenly Father, He saved me. He not only saved me my life, but He saved me from going through the trauma of being rolled and heaved about in the field, which I was. I don't doubt for a minute that I don't remember a thing about it.
This is the incredible part of this, this next part of this story.
Yeah.
Because there was the story that you were living out in this field, but then there was a parallel story going on at the same time.
Yeah.
Because God's hand was in certain wee things. So while you were going to, you remember seeing the bull, but then you don't remember another thing.
No.
Until later on. We'll come to that part of the story later. Yeah. But what was happening then while you were being rolled around this field by this, what weight was he?
Oh, he was...
I seen him, he was big, you know me.
He was well over a ton.
He was bigger than you, so absolutely. So while that was happening in the field, what was going on then up in the yard?
Well, it all started with Pauline. Went upstairs. For some strange reason, she looked out of the bathroom window. She can't tell me why, but she twigged that the quad was through the gate into the next field and I wasn't on it. So she felt something wrong here. Went down to Lawrence and she got Lawrence to... That's another miracle. Like, Lawrence could have already have said, oh, Dad'll be fine. He's just, you know, be doing something. But Lawrence sensed there was something wrong too. So he out across the field, and Pauline said when he was halfway across the field, he started going faster. So he must have seen something. And Lawrence went through the gate, saw the bull with me, rolling me over the field, and he jumped on the quad. He's so untold, like, I wasn't... Was it? and attempted to get the bull off me, which he did. Fortunately or otherwise, the bull went for him and pushed the quad right down into the fence where Lawrence jumped off, run through the gate, and somehow or other the bull went out and Lawrence got the gate shut and saved my life that way. But it was all in the hands of the Lord. The Lord was there. The Lord was with me. The Lord was with Lawrence. It could have been both me and Lawrence, but the Lord saw it different. And
even as I was chatting to Lawrence, and I wanted to catch up, do you still remember how you got the bull into the field?
Not exactly.
So Lawrence just went into autopilot.
Yes.
And did what was necessary. And then he ended up with Lawrence and you in the field. And Lawrence made a few phone calls, and it just so happened there was a few people who weren't far away. And shortly after that, Alan Angus arrived in the field, and the ambulance was called, and the police arrived, and George was there. And a few things just unfolded at that time. Alan's Jeep was used as the ambulance to get you out of the field because they couldn't get into the field. They were scared of the cows as well.
Yeah.
It was Alan that said, you don't need to be afraid of them. You need to be afraid of that boy in there. He was trying to break out. So the bull was still going on at this time, but they got you out. The police then drove the ambulance so that the both paramedics could work with you in the back of it. And just all of this stuff all unfolded. You went to the Ulster Hospital.
Yes.
I went up there. I was with Lawrence and Aaron. And we stood around, and you were getting some attention. There must have been 12 or 13 people. It was like a wee beehive, and they were just going round. There was nothing being said. It was just all worked away. The three of us stood outside just amazed at what was going on. But the interesting thing was, whenever we were in the house, George came up and says, he's in the ambulance and he's away, he's up, he's talking. So he was chatting away. In the Ulster Hospital, he was on the phone. And he was telling Lawrence, get you that boy sorted out. So the bill went for burgers, and that was already underway. Then you went to the Royal, where you had half a ton of titanium put into you. You're almost the $6 million man now with all this titanium in your ribcage. Yeah. And yet you don't really remember anything until after the operation.
No, like Lawrence told me that I did speak to him in the field, and apparently I did speak in the Ulster, but it's all blanked out as far as I'm concerned. I just don't remember a thing. Fortunately, like, the Lord saved me the trauma of being tossed about with a bull, and he also saved me the trauma of pain, because any of you who have ever hurt a rib, even one rib, know what it's like to breathe. They tell me that's sheer agony. I had a certain amount of pain, but I had all my ribs broken that side, or most of them, and half on this other side. I didn't feel pain. No serious pain.
Whenever you get this amazing story told to you, whenever you started to really link it all together, all of these things that happened from Pauline to Lawrence to Alan and the ambulances and all of this sequence of events, what did that make you feel as you were lying there having gone through the operation? How did...
It made me feel so humble and really blessed that the Lord felt that, like, you know the song, Amazing Grace, saved a wretch like me. Why would he save me? And he did. He saved me from that trauma. He saved me from the pain, which I should have been suffering. Don't ask me why I wasn't. But that's not the only thing he saved me from. He had already saved me spiritually when I was 16 years of age. I started to walk with the Lord, and I've been walking with him ever since and growing in faith. And it's just wonderful to walk with him and know that he's by your side day and night, every day.
Because that's the one thing I remembered when I went in to see you after the events, and it was just so thankful, just praying to God. And you know, we look at people, and people are all about different things, but I would really consider you to be a man of prayer. And I know you pray a lot and pray for people, but that was what I was going to ask you. You know, whenever you came out of that operation, and that wasn't the first time you prayed, and you've already alluded to it, you were a young man of 16. What, just give us a little bit of your story about how you came to faith. Where was that at? And
I came to faith in our church here, Gray Abbey, under the ministry of the Reverend Joe McAteer. A lot of you will remember him, and he was a great Christian man, and it was just wonderful the way he taught me to get to know the Lord and walk by his side. Just absolutely marvellous.
Obviously, your faith developed then, and
my faith has developed over the years. Yes.
Yeah, and God called you then to be ordained as an elder here.
I was ordained as an elder. I was a Sunday school teacher for many years, and I sang in the choir too, and did what I could for our Lord in this church.
Mm-hmm. I mean, over the years, my understanding, I'm only here not even a handful of years yet, but this is certainly a very prayerful community within this church. And I'm sure there were many times from when you were 16, I'm not going to say what age you are now, but up until you were attacked by the bull, that you prayed for other people and prayer meetings and that.
Yes.
What was it like then to be on the receiving end of that, knowing that other people were praying for you?
Like, there were so many people praying for me in this church, and churches all around the world, all over the country. I'm told there were people praying for me, not only here, They were praying for me as far away as Africa, Australia, Canada. People were praying for me all over the world.
People
it's mind-blowing.
People that you never met.
Oh, yes.
And never maybe will meet.
Yes, there was a certain church in Africa, a 12-hour prayer for me. Yeah. Somebody didn't even know.
That was Mr. Miller was involved in that. Gary's here tonight. So Gary has some links sent to Africa. And that's a tremendous thing to know that people are praying for
you.
That we are God's people all over the world. Well, now that you've come through it, physically, what would you say is the difference now between what happened and how you were before that and how you are now?
Well, physically, I feel good. Pretty good most of the time. I'll get tired easy, and I might have to go and have a rest, but still, I'm very, very grateful to the Lord for how well I am.
You're still able to foot around the farm
yet
a wee bit?
Yes, I'm still able to do a bit. And
reading up after these young boys, wrecking the place.
Yeah.
How did you do that tonight? You were just sharing with us. Somebody caught something on a tractor and it had to be read up before they got here. But so he still needs his old boy with him yet. And I'm sure he's delighted that his father is here. And I suppose, too, you know, one of the things that I picked up on was just the impact on Lawrence and on Aaron, you know, just to feel God with them in their family. And while Walker went through this, certainly Pauline and the two lads and their families, they all went through it together. And the church family here, we went through it with them, knowing the family.
Oh, yes.
But as you said two or three times here now, God saved you as a young man, but he saved you through this incident.
Yes.
So how does that make you feel that you're standing here tonight? What's your feelings about that?
Well, I have really been saved the best anybody could wish for, because I've been saved spiritually. And I've been saved bodily. Mm-hmm. Thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
Bit more work for you.
Amazing, amazing is just doesn't cover what our Lord is.
He's not finished with you yet.
Not, I reckon he probably has a few things lined up for me.
Absolutely. And I suppose one of the things that was difficult, you weren't allowed to drive for a while.
Yeah, that was nearly worse than the accident.
But he's back out driving again, and he drove me to our elders' conference, and Walker's responsibility within the congregation is to visit those people who are in care homes. And I know that for those people who recognise, and some of the folks that we have in care homes just can't recognise people coming in, but for those who do recognise, they're very, very thankful for Walker's ministry. And we're thankful, Walker, that you're still with us. Certainly in the session room, your wisdom and passion rubs off on us. And I'm sure for those of you who know Walker, I'd heard about you specifically before I came here. And I still came. I was told before I came here that Walker and Pauline are some of the most genuine and caring people. So that was a testimony I had heard, and I can stand and testify that I know that now to be true. And we have seen God work miraculously, really. I mean, the word miracle is something that we can bandy about, but when we consider your story and all the wee things, if they'd have happened a minute later or 30 seconds later, you know, you wouldn't be here. God's hand has been all over this.
So I could go into so much detail, but we'd be here all night. No, it's just the Lord's hand was with me all the way. Mm-hmm. There is no question about that. I don't doubt that for a second.
Character building, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Walker, we're so thankful that you shared that with us. And we're going to sing, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. But I'm sure Walker will be around after the service ends. We're going to have a cup of tea. And if you want to hear some of those more details, Walker will be glad just to share with you how God has been working in his life. But I'm just going to pray now with Walker and for the family and just thank God. Then we're going to sing.
Could I say something else?
Well, you're in charge.
I would just like to say something to anybody here today that doesn't know the Lord and doesn't walk with the Lord. Think carefully. you could walk out this door and drop dead, get hit by a car. You'd never get another chance. Now is the time. If you want to walk with the Lord, do it now. Amen. Make the move.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your hand on our lives. And Lord, through Walker's testimony, we see the words of this psalm just coming alive. A psalm that was written hundreds of, not thousands of years ago, but really just with us in a very physical and real way. And we pray for everyone here tonight, Lord, who are hearing your words through Walker, his testimony. And we thank you that he's here with us. We thank you for his family and for the blessing that they are together. You've brought them together, and we just pray, Lord, you will continue with them. And for the wider family here in Trinity, we just pray, Lord, that this story and many other stories would be on our lips as we share the praiseworthy deeds of you, our Lord and our God. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name.